Hey everybody, this is Gloria and I am live on the Heart of the City San Diego Facebook page, and I am here with Samuel Duth. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yeah, Duth. Yep.
Duth. I'm so excited.
I'm so glad to be here, Gloria. Thanks for the invite and excited to get a chance to meet your family here, the online community.
Definitely.
That's a part of this show, and honored to get a chance to jump in and hang with you.
Definitely. You know, you guys, I always tell you, I really, really love the before and after conversations. And this is kind of like the heartbeat of why I do this. You know, because really before the show, there's this kind of this conversation, there's this kind of this vulnerability, you know, this kind of getting to know you really quick in a short amount of time kind of thing, you know? And it just is so much fun. But, you know, I don't want to waste all my time on all of that. But you know what was really funny is I was thinking I was going to do a lesson about the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So I started searching on the Bible app.
Yep. Yep.
I came across your study just by chance.
Okay.
Then started posting I was going to do it. And then I seen some of my Praise Chapel friends. They're doing this, right? They're showing this book, and I'm thinking, that's the book, that's that guy. And so I commented on, I think it was Frank Garcia's
one. Yeah, I think so.
And then you commented after me. I was not expecting that at all. You know, you're like this big, famous author and stuff now. But then, I mean, you commented behind me, and I'm thinking, what? That's the guy. That's the author. And then I just took advantage. I'm like, I'm totally this opportunity. I'm going to ask him if he will come on my show and see what he says, right?
Yeah.
And you just were like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
I like that kind of people.
Oh my gosh. I'm glad to be on here. And I actually, it's kind of fun that you share that, because I was sort of wondering what the total connect was there. And it's so fun too. I mean, we'll get into a bunch of stuff, but I just love how God, you know, someone said, you know, the more I pray, the more coincidences happen. You know what I mean? I love how God sort of orchestrates moments, you know what I mean? And the fact that you happen to stumble on the reading plan that I have on YouVersion, and you know what I mean, just all the connections. And so you just know something about this, God's in it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Whether it's for this moment here to encourage the online, you know, the community, or whether it's, you know, other things in the future, you know, it's just,
totally.
I love how God, we're not some distant, disconnected. He's close. He's personal. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's involved in our world.
Yes.
And so I was excited, and you know, just up the road about 45 minutes, so it wasn't a bad drive at all. So I was excited to come down and hang with you. So.
That's great, great. So I'm excited to have you. But I want to ask you a few questions. I want to kind of get to know, you know, the guy behind the book, this guy.
Come on.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us, like, you know, a little bit. Maybe before. We love to get the before the Christianity.
The before, yeah. Well, you know, now, you know, I mean, it's a fun scene. I have a beautiful wife. We've been married for just over 15 years. Her name is Katie. Two beautiful little girls, Mercedes and Kenzie, and just enjoying life and what God's doing this season.
Wonderful.
Throwing it back, originally grew up in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And my story, you know, of coming to Christ is by the grace of God. It was a young age. You know, I first really said, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus literally when I was about 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what I like to remind it, not only to me, it's a beautiful story, and you know, life hasn't been perfect. It never is. You know what I mean? And there's been journeys of that, but thankfully I've been really had the environment to grow up in a home where my mom and dad loved God, loved each other, and I was able to kind of navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I love is that my story is a byproduct, and so I always encourage people, no matter where you're at or where your story is, you're only one good decision away from changing your family line. Because my dad's dad was an alcoholic.
Wow.
And my dad was the guy who got the phone call from the local bartender that said, hey, your dad's drunk again, come pick him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he was that, you know, guy who, he didn't grow up as a Christian. He didn't have exposure to that. Mm. But there was, you know, his grandma from time to time was that praying grandma. You know what I mean? That kept praying for him.
Yeah, you gotta have them.
And then there was a neighbor lady that kind of inconvenienced her life to keep reaching out, sort of encouraging my dad and in kind of his faith in coming to Christ. And so it was really this series of different people that God had orchestrated to keep guiding his life to the place where he encountered Jesus radically and passionately. And so when he made that decision to make that change, come to Christ, go all out, and then ultimately meet my mom, who is also a passionate follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now I'm living in the blessing byproduct of that. Now it doesn't mean I haven't had my own issues or had to make my own decisions and grapple with my faith.
Yeah.
But I think about that and just go, man, no matter what anybody's story is, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It can shift, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It only takes one man, one woman to make the choice to say, hey, my family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can change everything, you know, for your kids or those who are around you. Mm. And so I'm thankful to have had that opportunity when I was, like I said, about five, and still remember at bedside, my mom leading me in that prayer to come to Christ.
Wow, that's
and,
awesome.
Yeah, so it was that young moment. And you know, then you know, you're just kind of going through life as a kid and just being normal, being wild, and grew up with a family of five boys.
Mm-hmm.
And our youngest, then the baby number six was the girl. So my parents got five boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. And they always wanted to have six. They weren't just like, keep going until they found a girl. they just wanted to have a big old family. And and my... my family is
where
awesome.
Where are you at in the line?
I'm the second born.
The second born?
So
okay.
I'm number two in the line of six. And so...
so you didn't have to have too many hand-me-downs?
No, not too many. But, you know, growing up with that big of a family, it was like, you know, we're all going to buy new stuff. It was like, my dad, we're like, Dad, new pair of shoes. He goes, yeah, there's a box of shoes down in the closet downstairs. Once you go dig through it and find yourself some new shoes. We're like, Dad, we can no longer wear these shoes in public. This is not good. Here's what my mom would try to advocate for us, you know what I mean? Try to help us out and get that. But my dad was a carpenter and, you know, and my parents homeschooled us. And so...
Wow.
Yeah, I had a fun upbringing in that in that sense. So then, you know, I'd go on the job with my dad and, you know, do some construction work and you know, because we, you know, sort of be on the job training, aka my dad needed a little help at the job and we were homeschooled so we could run out. But but my mom is just an exceptional teacher, so it worked out great. So so we grew up in Minnesota area and you know, kind of lived there, and it was really, you know, my parents weren't pastors. You know, my grandpa was. I kind of found that out later, and great grandpa. But
interesting.
But my parents weren't pastors, but they just modeled such a passionate relationship with Christ. You know, I mean, both of them, they loved the Word of God, they loved the presence of God, and I learned to follow Jesus and worship God standing next to my dad lifting his hands in worship during church. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was thankful for that kind of foundation and
definitely.
I think set that up. So when I was, you know, kind of in that 12 to 13 age range is when I started feeling this sense of call more towards ministry as really a calling.
When you were 12?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's young.
Yeah, yeah. And it was... I still remember being at some kind of conference, camp meeting type of service, and the preacher was, you know, up there, you know, giving some call, like, you know, if you feel called to ministry, come forward. And I just remember being, me and some friends were just kind of messing around in the back of the church, running around, doing stuff.
Yeah.
I just remember stopping and looking at my friend and going, I think I might be supposed to go forward for that. And then I was like, yeah, whatever. And we just kind of kept running around, messing around.
Wow.
And it almost kind of felt a little bit like that story of Samuel when he was in the Bible, when he's first learning to hear the voice of God, not knowing exactly what it sounds like. And it was like starting to get those promptings, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And but just, you know, not knowing yet, not really knowing what the voice of God is sounds like. And
wow.
And so that kind of just began that journey and that hunger to know God and kind of go after it. And,
yeah, definitely.
But it really modeled, you know, really in that those beginning stages modeled by my parents, you know.
Wow.
And which always gives me a real reminder as a, you know, not as a pastor, but first as just a dad. You know what I mean? That the number one way I disciple my kids is not by teaching them, not by preaching to them. Mm-hmm. It's doing it. It's them seeing me read the Bible. Yes. You know, it's them seeing me pray. It's them hearing me, you know, live out my faith in a real life, a real everyday life, rather than just kind of do what I say, not what I do, you know? Because I think we can all talk till we're kind of blue in the face.
Exactly. Yeah.
But if we're not living it, and none of us can be perfect, but if we're not living this thing out, then our kids aren't going to really be able to kind of grab onto that, you know?
Yes.
So, so it was, that's kind of the upbringing, you know, a little bit of a, you know, not real rural, but kind of like edge of suburbia, rural, Midwest, middle America, hard work ethic, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, we tried to get my dad to be a more lenient. He was kind of like a real, you know, hardworking German, you know, kind of like roots upbringing. So like on Saturdays or Sundays, we'd be like, Dad, you know, it's a Sabbath. You know, why are we, why are you making us work?
Yeah.
And he would be like, well, if you work the rest of the week, I wouldn't make you work on the Sabbath. So we tried to use that old spiritual manipulation on him. It didn't, you know, he just fired back with, well, if you don't work, you don't eat. So, so he wasn't playing games with that. So thankfully that was kind of our upbringing was, you know, working hard and good character. And, you know what I mean? Loving Jesus, and so that was the model set, you know, kind of growing up. So
your body language when you're talking about your family,
it's
so like, you know, it's like you're really into it. Yeah. You get into it, you know. I mean, I can't imagine living with that many kids.
It was a party. It was a nonstop party, and now family gatherings, going home for Christmas. You know, we're home in Minnesota, you know, toughing out in the freezing weather, you know, coming from here. And I mean, my family's all mass producing. My wife and I are kind of like the slackers. We only have two kids. I have a brother who literally has 8 children.
No.
Yeah, that's not a joke. It's not a joke. If he's watching, I love you. Ooh. You're amazing. You are an amazing man.
Oh,
and Heidi, you're a legend. And so, yeah, so they, then another brother has 4, another has 3, another one, you know what I mean? So it is a tribe.
Goodness.
It is a tribe of Duth when we're all gathered together.
Oh my gosh.
But it's really, it's fun. You know, my parents fought for unity kind of in the family, you know what I mean? Like they were just real intentional to make sure that even as brothers that we learned how to navigate our issues and navigate our frustrations with each other.
That's a big word that you just said right now. You guys, the word that he just said was intentional.
Yeah.
Intentional. And
that's
I think
it.
That we need
that's
to learn how to live more intentional.
Yeah.
It was what you were given. It's so needed.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny, even, you know, again, it wasn't perfect, but like even having a healthy Christian home and having parents that loved each other and loved me, loved Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, I actually assumed that being a husband would be like completely easy and natural. I thought being a dad would be way more instinctive or natural. And I just realized why it's easy to be a bad dad, why it's easy to be kind of a deadbeat husband, so to speak, you know what I mean? Like, because this word intentional, you know what I mean? Like, because if you're not careful, you can start autopiloting life, you know what I mean? And before you know it, not being intentional with your spouse or with your friends or with your kids and with children, as anyone has kids,
right?
It takes constant, consistent, intentional reinforcement, and you feel like you're saying the same thing 1 million times.
Right.
And I think it's like the skill of not getting discouraged as a parent. You know what I mean? When you're just like, you know, you're like, I feel like I have said this literally 1,000 times, but it's not freaking out as if you are a horrible parent. It just means that, hey, you need to pause and realize like this is the process of growing up, you know, and we need great parents.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, are kind of guiding us on that track. So,
yeah,
but family gatherings are a party. Yeah. It's pretty wild and loud. You can tell, like you said, by my body language.
Your body language.
Dinner
is
tables
totally
are
yes.
kind of a yelling match. Yeah. Whoever's the loudest gets to talk.
Yeah, people that I meet, they come from large families. They are like, they're used to talking to people. They're not shy.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. I'd probably fit into that.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how did you get to San Diego?
Yeah. So you know, just God's been good. So took me from the Minnesota, you know, the frozen tundra of Minnesota, and then when I was, like I said, I started feeling that call to ministry, and God kind of began to confirm that, build that, and then when I was about. Probably when I was about in that kind of 17 age range, I really knew 100%. I had just different kind of prophetic words and different things. I just knew, like, man, ministry is my thing. I'm all out. That's awesome. Before that, I'd felt like I wanted to be a cartoonist for Disney. So I have this artist side of me. And
really?
So art, and I had all kinds of cartoons I was creating, and that was my dream. I was going to be an artist. And then I started feeling this call to ministry, and I was like, you know, I don't need anything now. Just all Jesus and ministry, and I'm going to be a preacher. And thankfully, I had a good mom who said, hey, I know you're going to be a preacher, and that's great, but even the Apostle Paul made tents, so you need to have a skill. And I was like, initially I was like, you know, you have little faith, you know, mom, but it was such a God thing that she prompted that, because I actually I got a degree in graphic design, and I have used that for so many years. And it opened up a lot of doors over the years, paved my way through Bible college and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So I went ahead and did that. And then in that kind of college season is when I, you know, had a graduate of a Bible college in the Tacoma, Seattle area, came to Minnesota, began to be a part of the leadership of the church, and him and I were about the same age. So we connected. And I just said, man, wherever this guy got trained, I need to go check it out, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how I went out to Seattle and visited. And I think I got tricked a little bit because when I went to Seattle, many people think of it as, you know, it's very rainy, it's cloudy, it's dreary and all that. Well, I went in like August. And if you're ever going to go to the Northwest, you go in July and August and it is perfection.
Oh.
It's no humidity.
Yeah.
It's usually like 75 and sunny.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
And there's gorgeous mountains and it's green. I mean, it's like a paradise for like about 2.5 months. Okay. And then you just got to have to enjoy clouds, rain, and a lot of coffee. Okay?
Oh, my goodness.
And so when I visited, it was one of those 75, clear skies. I mean, just... If I was like, this may be what heaven is like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
yeah.
So I went back to Minnesota. Then a couple months later, I ended up making the move to go out and start school.
Yeah.
And when I went out to actually get school started, it was in 2002, and it was the year where Seattle broke the record for most consecutive days of rain.
Oh my.
So I went from visiting when it was sunny and perfection to literally like months of I didn't see sun. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and I was
goodness.
Like, what have I done? What happened? How did I get myself here? You know?
Yeah.
And so it was, but it was just, it was such a great season. You know, went to Bible college there and really kind of cut my teeth in leadership and ministry and learned how to, you know, preach and lead and love people and, really love the house of God too. Like, love the family of God because when I was first sort of feeling called to ministry in like a full-time profession, it was to be an evangelist. That was kind of the word. Hey, you're an evangelist. Okay, awesome. But most of the era of evangelists when I was kind of first young, other than like a Billy Graham, was kind of this kind of rogue, slightly arrogant vibe of like, we blow in, we blow up, we blow out, let the pastors deal with the mess of whatever I decide to preach on, you know, kind of like a mindset. And God actually kind of had to take a season of helping to work that out, you know what I mean, of that model, and actually bring me up in an environment that would actually teach me to love the community of faith and the people, and to really be somebody who focused more about building and loving people than just being, trying to be some hotshot traveling evangelist. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it was such a great season.
That's a good word right there. Yeah. That's such a good word right there. Because you got these pastors, they put their blood, sweat, and tear into what they do.
So true. And I think anyone who gets the privilege to travel a bit and minister in a variety of churches, you know, should care for those people and think of it as if it is their own. You know what I mean? In a really honoring way. And I always, one of the things that I love to teach, you know, young preachers, and I do myself as well, before I'm going to go and preach, I will often say to myself and kind of glance around the room a little bit, and I will say, I love these people.
Yes.
You know, it's a simple, but it's kind of like a subtle thing. And it might say, oh, that's obvious. I hope you do. Yeah. But it's like it's a declaration. It's a reinforcement of reminding myself in that moment before I preach to these people that are not my audience. They're not, you know, just my opportunity to have a platform to say something. These are God's people that He loves.
Yeah.
And I am being privileged enough to care for these next 30 minutes or whatever a message is to handle it with care. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And to minister to them as if Jesus is right there watching, because He is.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be that kind of steward of the moment. Yeah. And so that's why I love just kind of pausing for a minute and just saying, I love these people. You know what I mean?
That's good. Because it like just, really good
it's
advice.
Like it resets my heart a little bit to not think, how do I impress these people? Nah, that doesn't work. It's like, how do I love these people like Jesus does?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the tone for that. But so I ended up spending about 13 years in the Seattle-Tacoma area.
Drinking lots of coffee?
Lots of coffee. That's when I first got, you know, addicted to caffeine.
Right.
And it was funny. Growing up, my mom drank Folgers like it was her job. You know what I'm saying? Just pots of coffee to try to stay alive with six kids, you know. And I always loved the smell of it, but I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, like, this stuff tastes horrible, right?
Yeah.
So then when I first visited Seattle, my buddy, who was like a barista at a Starbucks, and he was like big into coffee. I was like, listen, I'll go to a Starbucks, like, we'll have a coffee, but I just want to let you know, I don't like coffee. I don't know how to order. I was that guy, you know, it was the first time at a coffee shop, like, venti, I don't know what all these words are.
Right.
And so I said, you order for me. I said, I don't like the taste of coffee, so make it really light on the coffee. Much more on sugars and milk and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a venti beverage, there's normally about 3 shots of something typically. So what he did is he did just a single shot of espresso in a venti size cup, like a venti single shot caramel macchiato with extra caramel. So if you drink coffee at all, you know that pretty much is like a sugar drink with barely any caffeine in it. But I remember that first drink. I felt like, oh my God, this is so strong caffeine. Like, because I'd never had espresso.
Yeah.
I'd never had a Starbucks. Now, if I had a venti beverage, I would have at least 4 shots of espresso in that bad boy, if not 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, on the way down here, I had a, you know, double short. You know, the shortest size a Starbucks does with 2 shots of espresso in it. So. So, you know, I have problems, and I'm working through them. But, so we got up to Seattle, and man, I was got the privilege to serve in the youth pastor role there for us a while. Worked with junior hires, worked with high school, worked with young adults, and it was just it was an amazing season, and really kind of. I'm thankful for junior high ministry opportunities because it allowed me to preach to an audience that was, you know, forgiving, you know, ultimately.
Yeah.
But also they kind of make you earn, they kind of make you earn it when it comes to like telling a good joke.
They're a tough audience.
Yeah, like adults will kind of laugh at just about anything.
Yeah.
But at junior higher, they ain't giving out free laughs. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You ain't funny. They ain't laughing. You know what I'm saying? So I actually like once I had preached at junior hires for a couple of years, I was like, adults are easy. Like
yeah.
They love you. Mm-hmm. They look you in the eye when you're preaching. They're not falling asleep. You know what I'm saying? Like adults are like chill, you know? Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, you know, I get called back into the youth ministry world and I love it. I still love preaching to teenagers.
Oh, that's great.
And, but they make you earn it. So, but I love it. It's just one of my favorite audiences because they're open, they're ready to respond ultimately.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, I did that and then ran our Bible college up there for a while and.
Wow.
Yeah, that was such. You know what? That was a fun season, and in hindsight, you know, God, He's the great orchestrator of things, and you don't always understand why a certain season. But in hindsight, I think that's one of the reasons why I felt more like comfortable or equipped to actually write this, is because I started getting in a position where I was helping craft message or course layouts and teaching. You know, training, you know what I mean?
Wow.
So just, because that wasn't really my world before that, you know, more motivational, you know, inspirational preaching.
Yeah.
But not necessarily teaching, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where teaching is much more about boiling down concepts, getting clarity on things. And really, and so that's kind of the whole, like, driving force behind, you know, the way I wrote the book, which we can talk about in a minute when, you know, we get to that. But
yeah, sure.
But, you know, just I love how God, you know, so even for anyone, you know, who's watching, who's in a season, who you're like, man, why am I in this situation right now? And you might feel like it's worthless. You might feel like, what's God doing? I'm telling you what, God never wastes a season. You know what I mean? You know, people have said that term, you'd never waste a hurt. And that's true. But I think, you know, every season we're in, God is, without us often realizing it, you know what I mean? He's using that season to craft us, to develop us, to shape us for what's next.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was such a great season up there. And then a little over 3 years ago, I was at Champion Center up in Seattle area with Kevin and Sheila Gerald is their names. And just one of the best teachers in the game, Kevin Gerald, is great. Some really great books that shifted a lot of stuff in me. And then a little over 3 years ago, I was handing off the Bible college. I was going to start doing some other stuff within the church and getting the pastor's office. And he's like, hey, I've got some ideas, but he's like, I just can't shake it. I just feel like God has a new season for you. Maybe it's here at this church. Maybe it's not. He was like, I always want to be family, but I feel like God might be doing something.
Interesting.
And, you know, sometimes that is code language in the church world for you're getting fired, clean out your desk. You know what I mean? Just like low key, honestly. Yeah. But I bring that up because it wasn't that. It was like a genuine, he was feeling God stirring something.
Right.
Because it wasn't a clean out your desk. It was let's pray and see if God kind of reveals it.
That's cool.
And I'm so thankful for that because initially I was like, because I'm such a kind of like a longevity, loyalty, commitment kind of guy. So I wasn't like planning some exit, you know, from where I was at. I wasn't looking for something else. But when he brought it up, and I was kind of like, oh, yeah, no, I'm here. And then my wife is like, man, if you brought it up, maybe we should pray about it. I was like, oh, that's probably a good idea. Maybe I should pray about it.
To wives, right?
Yeah, exactly. Noted. So we just kind of began to pray about it. Yeah. And it was one of those things where God just started making it very clear. Yeah, this was a season. Mm. It's time to kind of activate a new season of faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, ironically, we're here down in San Diego, National City area. And one of the guys God used to help confirm that transition is Pastor Sergio, who is... So I was up helping with like a pastor's event up in the Seattle area. Mm-hmm. It actually was a Hispanic pastor's gathering.
Oh, and that's cool.
And Pastor Sergio was there. And him and I had kind of connected at other points. And so when I'm hanging out and he sees me there, he's like, oh man. He sees me, all of a sudden he starts prophesying transition. He has no idea what's happening.
Goodness.
But then he's like, hey, let's talk later. So then later on, he just starts kind of reading the mail of what God had been doing, and my pastor and I's conversations and what God was doing.
Yeah.
And it was just unbelievable. And he was just like, come on, time to step into that calling, time to activate, you know, what God has in your life. And he gets kind of straight at you in some of those. He was he was like, how old are you? I was like, 34, whatever I was, 33 at the time.
Yeah.
He was like, well, step it up then. Be a man. Do it. I was like, yes, sir.
Very talented.
Yeah, he was just, but it was like the right, you know, kind of thing in the moment where it was like just a confirmation. Hey, it's time to,
what
God is doing and God is speaking and to step out and go for it. And I'd always kind of felt a little bit of that, like I said, that sort of evangelist or this, you know, encouraging and strengthening are two words that have always been kind of like driving statements for me, like encouraging and strengthening the church. Like that's like what I'm about in whatever setting that is.
Good.
And so I'd kind of known like there was something around kind of traveling a bit, encouraging kind of this broader body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, God had just kind of worked that local love for a local church, you know, kind of a deal.
Yeah.
So I'd started to travel just a little bit here and there, but I just knew like it was time to step out, to go for it. And so when we made that decision and, you know, got released by our pastors to step out in that season and come and base down here in San Diego, and how it got to San Diego was as we're starting to pray about this next season.
Yeah.
And it's going, okay, God, where do you want, you know, us, we stay in the Northwest, is there somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd already been talking to Pastor Jurgen Metesius, who's the lead pastor, my pastor and lead pastor of C3 Church here in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I had been chatting just about me coming down just to do some ministry in general, maybe with different things that he's doing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, great. Then I mentioned, hey, I'm feeling like maybe I'm going to step out and start traveling. He's like, great. You know, we'll be your first paycheck. You know, we'll have you out. We're going to help try to get the word out. It's like, awesome, so good. When I was just kind of keep praying about it, I realized, actually, I feel like we actually might need to really step out and base with Jurgen and Leanne right here in San Diego and really make this kind of the covering that we're serving and building and kind of maturing in. And so I reached out to him, and I was like, what do you think about that? He's like, come on, let's go, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like kind of amped about it. Then I talked to some advisors in the Northwest, some other people, and they're like, well, if you're going to go, maybe you should see if he has a job for you, you know, because it's kind of a big deal to step out of your kind of full-time paycheck, church job, to try to travel and sustain life in that way.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, okay, you know, I guess I could at least ask, you know, does he have a job? So I said, hey, do you have a job? He's like, nope. But if you want to come down, we'd love to, you know, help release you into this next season. I was like, well, whether you said yes or not, I'm still coming. So I just, because I just knew that God was in it.
Yeah.
And of course, for them, part of, even if they had had a job, he probably wouldn't have given it to me, partly because we have such a heart at C3 to, you know, raise and release from within, develop people. We're not just looking to hire the latest gun. You know what I mean? Kind of a deal.
That's good, though.
Yeah,
good
thing. Yeah, it is. And so It was great. So when we stepped out in faith, we just knew. And part of the reason why I knew it was God is because I'm definitely a little bit more of the risk taker. My wife is a little bit more calculated. But even my wife was like, let's go.
Wow. God's in it. That's awesome.
So I was like, all right, well, if she's feeling it, then we got this. kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And, but that move to come down and kind of leave all the paychecks, leave the steady job sort of deal, and make the move down here to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, it was a bigger gap, if you will, than I had originally realized.
Really?
And I was like, okay, you know, I'm gonna step out and travel. Well, I wasn't traveling enough to have warranted expecting my schedule to just like fill up when I got down here. Right? So I stepped out. I'm traveling. I'm doing this thing. I knew God was in it. I knew God had called us. Like, I just, we knew.
Yep.
But man, calendar, you know, there was definitely, it was traveling a bit, but not enough to live in San Diego. You know what I mean? Probably not even enough to live if I'd stayed in Tacoma. You know what I mean? Like, it was the beginning. It was a birthing of a new ministry. It was a birthing of a new season.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that. It's interesting that you say that, because right before you came, I was just talking to one of my members that comes to my Bible study. She's an experienced Christian already, though.
Yeah.
She just comes to hang out. But we were talking about that, and we were talking about the show, why I do the show and things like that. And I said, because I know that this is a platform for people to come, because I know that sometimes, you know, when you're trying to get your message out, you want to be an impact to the world and things like that.
Yeah.
Those bookings aren't coming sometimes.
Yeah.
And any platform that you can get to get the word out helps in that way, you know.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. Thanks for giving me the chance to come on and hang out.
I'm just blessed with you. You're awesome.
And you know, I think, you know, a lot of times we all think like, we know, you know, carving out something new, whether it's ministry, whether you're starting a business, you know, whatever it is, we're always excited and feel like we got this. And then, you know, most good things, most things worth doing are harder than you thought.
Yeah.
Take longer than you thought. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To build. And now we're just a little over 3 years in, and the schedule is definitely much better.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so now we're traveling a lot more.
Yeah.
And some other things that we're doing that are God's really putting his hand on. It's exciting.
That's amazing.
But it was that step of faith, you know.
Yes.
And you know, it's interesting, you know, sometimes you hear preachers kind of talk about like these crazy miracles that have happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I found out how those happen. It's usually as a response to a big step of faith you've taken, you know?
Yes.
So when we first came down here and, you know, first started getting a little empty and, you know, bookings weren't coming as fast as I had planned, and I'm trying to kind of make this thing work. And, you know, it was one night where I was putting our girls to bed, and I come out, and my wife's kind of putting some dishes away, and we're chatting, and she had just started to kind of, she had a real estate license in Seattle, and was now trying to get back going here in San Diego.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and so it was just kind of getting that going, but there was a couple potential clients for her that, man, would have been really helpful for us, and she had just found out that they both had gone with somebody else. So it was like, just that dagger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, just, it was just intense. And we're literally at this place where it was like, man, when's the next check going to come?
Yeah.
That I'll be able to, you know, fill up that fridge again, you know? And, but it was kind of my moment to, you know, keep faith and, you know, keep breathing faith into the atmosphere with my wife and I in that moment. And I said, come on, babe. You know, we know God's for us.
Mm-hmm.
We know all the prophecies.
Yes.
We know all the natural and the supernatural that God lined up to make this obvious. You know, that this is where God wanted us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just trying to stir up faith. And you know how it is when you're moment when... the best way I can describe is it felt like... you're like walking through molasses and trying to stay positive and trying to stay full of faith. And it just feels like, oh my God,
mm-hmm.
how's this going to work?
Right.
You know? And I just said in that moment, well, I reinforced mm-hmm. what actually something that had come out of my wife's heart was just mm-hmm. this mantra, mm-hmm. we trust Jesus. You know what I mean? And so that just became a statement that we kept declaring.
That's awesome.
And so in that moment, I was like, come on, babe, we trust Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, listen, God fed the prophet in the wilderness by sending birds to bring him food. And I said, if God wants to bring food to our doorstep, he can do it, right?
Yeah.
So then we prayed, and it was funny. My daughter has never done this before, mm-hmm. this prayer, and never did it afterward. But as we're praying, and it's not a spiritual thing she did, this was a distracting thing she did. As we're praying, all of a sudden, I'm praying, and I'm kind of fighting for faith. All
right.
of a sudden, my daughter comes out of her bedroom and just smacks me in the butt. Like, I'm right in the middle of prayer. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Right.
Like, that wasn't like something she did. That wasn't like a common thing.
It was random.
It was random. And I just really felt like it was just this, all this sort of chaos of the moment trying to almost like get us off of our game. And and I was just like, get back in bed. Like, and it just was like, kind of like this worst case scenario end to a prayer. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, amen, whatever. You know, let's go to bed. Well, then the next morning, as I'm leaving the house, I open up the door, and stacked in front of that door is Amazon Fresh, or it will deliver groceries at different places. And little did we know, the night before I said, if God wants to bring food to our doorstep,
my
he can.
Goodness.
The next morning, God had prompted somebody. Obviously, we weren't telling people we needed groceries. We weren't asking for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
God had done this, and there was hundreds of dollars of groceries that had been delivered the next morning. And I took a photo of that thing, and that was my screensaver. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh,
for the longest
wow.
time, because I said, man, I got to remind myself that I'm telling you what God hears, God knows, and if he called, he's faithful, he will take, you know what I mean? Like, and I needed that. It kind of was like building that monument in the Old Testament where they build a pillar of rocks to remind them that what God did in that moment, you know?
Yeah, I feel like all those things have to happen. Like God, you just don't go into it seamlessly.
yeah. You know what? God, you know, it's that building of faith, you know what I mean, that you really need. And so there was a couple of those kind of scenarios where God just, man, and just confirmed, I've called you, I'm with you, I've not left you, you're on this thing, keep going, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, it was funny then, I had that as my screensaver for a while. And then about, I don't know how many, I don't know if it was a year, full year, if it was just a handful of months.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt God say, take that off of your phone because I've got bigger miracles for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was almost this thought of like, I'm just like so focused in on this thing from the past that God was kind of like, hey, that was great. That fed you for a moment.
That right there is a good key moment right there. Listen to what he said, you guys. He said he had to leave that. That was a big blessing to happen at that point, but that's no longer done. You need to go to the next one, right?
That's it.
Leave that one aside. Take it off
the
screensaver, you said, right?
Take it off, yep. And believe for something new.
New.
Yeah.
The new.
That's it. New.
Yes.
Yeah, there's more that God has for you, you know? And even if it was a good past or it was a bad past, there's more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's good ahead.
There's good ahead.
And God's got something fresh.
Yes.
And I think that can be easy. Sometimes we want to hang on to something from the good old days or hang on to a negative memory from the past.
Yeah.
And the more we can learn how to let that go and say, thank God for all the lessons and the blessings and all that. But now it's time for something new, something fresh, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, there's always that, you know, there's those fear twinges that kind of come in in there when you're stepping out in something new. But I've just learned how to lean into it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just go, okay, you know, if I'm feeling something and I feel God speaking and he's confirming it, then it's time to step out and do it. You know what I mean? Don't hold back.
Don't hold back.
You know, lean in and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things about this Following Jesus book is that it kind of became, if you're familiar, may or may not be, there's a story about a time when God tested a man named Abraham in the Bible.
Yeah.
And it was this pretty intense thing he asked Abraham to do, is to, He says, go and sacrifice your only son, you know, as like an offering to me.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty wild thing because God had never done that. That's not the nature of God to ask for a human sacrifice. That's like evil satanic worship kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty kind of wild ask.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also the son that he'd been praying for.
Mm-hmm.
And he obediently, because he'd learned how to trust God, he had obediently said, okay,
totally.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
So he goes up the mountain, he's bringing his son, and he finally has put his son on the altar, and he's ready to kind of go through with what he heard God say. And then, of course, the angel stops him and says, don't lay hand on your son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now I know, you know, that you'll fear me. Now I know that you'll obey, and now I know that you trust me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And then it said all of a sudden he noticed that there was a ram caught in the bushes near it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he used the ram,
mm-hmm.
you know, to, as a sacrifice rather than his son. And then there's
right.
that statement that says, and it said that on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided, right? So
yeah.
it was like God matched the provision
mm-hmm.
of the ram on the exact trajectory of Abraham's obedience. So
yeah.
God... You know, the pathway of obedience lined up with the pathway of the provision that
yeah.
Abraham needed at the right exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you stay obedient,
mm-hmm.
then God's going to provide the ram in the thicket, you know, and
right.
provide what's needed.
Yeah.
And so this idea had started up in Seattle. You know, I kind of felt like, man, we're seeing so many people getting saved, and
mm-hmm.
I'd be at the altars and praying with people, and it was great, and we're getting connected. But I was like, man, I wish I had like a simple, like next step guide
mm-hmm.
for somebody who wants to follow Jesus. You know, they just raised their hand, or they responded at an altar,
mm-hmm.
and they just said, man, I feel God, and
mm-hmm.
I want to leave my old way. I want to follow Jesus. Like, what can we make sure? Because obviously, the ultimate following Jesus guide is this.
Yeah.
The Bible, right? this is the following Jesus manual, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
But many who have no introduction to God or the Bible, or they have no understanding of how to really put all this together,
right.
many of them are going to grab the Bible and get confused and read a couple chapters, get to Leviticus, and they're done. You know what I mean? Like, they're like,
right.
oh, man, I don't know what to do. And so I was like, what can we... Just create something simple. And I call like that like a quick start guide, almost kind of vibe
yeah.
to it,
yeah.
of just giving you the essentials.
Yeah.
And so I get in here, I talk about seven essentials
mm-hmm.
to following Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about, you know, prayer, how to talk to God,
right.
how to hear from God,
yeah.
you know, talk about
yeah.
worship. What's
yeah.
that? Why do we sing in church? You know,
yeah.
what's that all about? What does it do?
Yeah.
And... Talk about, you know, the Bible. How do you understand it? How do you read it? How does it actually transform your life,
mm-hmm.
you know? Water baptism. Talk about the Holy Spirit. Talking about the church. Talk about sharing your faith. Talk about loving people, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the seven areas that I didn't focus on to go, okay, how... And it's so tough, right? How do you boil down anything? I mean, like I said, every part of this book is necessary... So in a quick start guide, it's like, how do you really focus? So I was like, okay, I want to make sure that if someone comes to church, they give their life to Christ, and they leave, and they don't have another Christian around them, mentoring them, and they're just kind of them and trying to connect with this Jesus they've just decided to follow.
Mm-hmm.
What could I make sure that they have that would give them the kind of the essential next steps to kind of get them going?
That is great.
And really get what they needed.
That's so good.
So... I've loved it, and we just released this a little over 2 years ago, and
yeah.
it was something that it started as a seed a while ago, and then when I was in that transition of moving down, I really felt God give me a vision to make 1,000,000 disciples, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of a lot of disciples,
mm-hmm.
but then God gave me this book as a kind of a partnering deal, and I realized, those 1,000,000 disciples are going to be worked out by helping get this into the hands of new believers.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, working with church leaders
mm-hmm.
to help them better disciple the people that God's bringing to them.
Yeah.
So and then now, by God's grace, God has put his hand on it. Little did I know. I wasn't smart enough to realize
mm-hmm.
there was kind of a gap in the market, if you will, mm-hmm. of resources, really simple, basic resources for a new believer.
Right.
And so now, man, people in about 7-8 countries around the world are using this. It's in English,
wow.
it's in Spanish. We're finishing the
yeah.
Arabic translation.
Mm-hmm.
We're about to start the Creole mm-hmm. for Haitians and French translation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a passion to translate it into every language.
That is amazing.
On earth. You know,
yeah.
Because I want everyone to get a chance to figure out, not just to, you know, what boxes do I have to check to be religious. No,
mm-hmm.
I want you to know and follow Jesus.
Because yeah.
that's the life. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Not being religious. You know, like,
yeah.
you know, that doesn't help anybody. Religion ain't changing lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's knowing Jesus. It's having
Jesus.
That relationship
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to know him as not just some dictator
mm-hmm.
God
yeah.
figure that most of religion kind of paints their deities
yeah.
as. That's a difference.
Yeah.
About the Savior
yeah.
That we follow, that we serve, that we know, is that now we have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
He talks to us, we talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
He gave his life for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like,
mm-hmm.
to me, going, I just don't want anyone to have to settle for religion.
That's
you know, going through
really
motions.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to know Jesus.
Yeah.
And so now this has become a massive part of my life work. So I'm talking about the ram in the thicket because little did I know that this would kind of get released
mm-hmm.
at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors and churches would start to use it all over the world, and it would start to really help not only serve churches and
yeah.
serve individual believers,
mm-hmm.
but also be able to help provide for my family in that process too. So
yeah,
it's been awesome. But the stories are so fun to hear people as they're reading it and
mm-hmm.
engaging with it.
Yeah. I can't wait to dive into this. I already
yeah.
did the Bible app. I was like, I had so much fun doing that one. I got a really good response on doing the Bible
so
app
good.
As well.
Good.
So I really can't wait to do this one, you guys. So you're going to be seeing me going live again.
Yeah.
Me and my lives.
Yeah, I love it. And you can just pick them up on Amazon. They're on there. The English and Spanish is on there. We also have e-readers of it.
Yeah.
Or followingjesusbook.com. Either way,
yeah.
Snag a copy. And I always encourage people, get one yourself.
Yeah.
But grab one for a friend that you want to disciple.
Yes.
You know? So it's for somebody
yeah.
to kind of mature their own faith, get
mm-hmm.
those fundamentals of their faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wrote it with the mindset of a Christian
mm-hmm.
who they love Jesus, they're all in, they know
yeah.
maybe these basics,
yeah.
and they've got a friend, they got a relative, a family member
mm-hmm.
who they're like, man,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to disciple them, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. How do I disciple a friend?
Right, yeah.
Well, this becomes kind of like a little, like a study, because each chapter has like questions and action steps at the end of it,
yeah.
and so it becomes like an easy kind of cheat sheet guide to disciple your friend as
that's,
well.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah.
Who knew that something so, it just says follow Jesus. I
yeah.
mean, point blank. Like, you know, just so simple.
Simple.
No, like, no elegant word. Like,
yeah.
no, all,
yeah.
you know, just following Jesus.
Yeah. That's
black
it.
And white.
Yeah. Simple.
But this is going all over the churches. All the churches that I know, the Praise Chapels, people like that. I've seen this go up. I've seen boxes of these, you guys. So if you're out there listening, I mean, this is just incredible. Just so good.
Yeah, for churches, you know, when they're buying bulk, we have bulk discounts as well. So,
oh, that's
you know,
great.
Churches who, because I wanted, part of what I wanted to do was to be able to make it cheap enough.
Yeah.
For a church to feel comfortable being able to give it out to somebody to get saved and not feel like it's breaking the bank every time they do.
Yeah.
So an individual yeah. can buy it for $5.99, but when a church buys a bulk
mm.
of them, they get them at like $2.50 a book so that they could give them out for free to people
wow,
in their church.
That's really good.
So many churches have really seen the value in investing in their people like that. And
yeah.
so again, for me, I was like, well, I'm not trying to soak every penny I can out of everyone who's getting it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get those margins down as low as I can
mm-hmm.
so churches can just get them out to individuals.
Yeah.
And we have seen now in the last couple of years,
mm-hmm.
We also did a big partnership with a mission organization called Mission Me.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, One Nation One Day in Nicaragua.
Mm-hmm.
and we raised support, and we printed 100,000 of the Spanish version of it, and it was a part of this massive nationwide outreach. And we're about ready to do the same in Peru.
Wow.
And it'll be more like quarter of a million plus of the Spanish ones will go out there.
Wow.
And so I thought making a million disciples was going to be a much longer term goal, and I realize it's just going to be just a blip on the beginning,
right?
God is going to do.
You know, all the social media.
Yeah.
We got, you know, books that can go out all over the world. There's so many means of doing that now.
Yeah.
Some of the things, I'm really enjoying my conversation with you, by the way.
Me too. This is so good.
You know, some of the things that you said, you talked about your childhood, your upbringing, you know, the intentional living. There's so many good things that you brought out. I just think that it's incredible, your body language, everything, you know, the way that you tell your stories. You guys, if you're out there and you're listening, you need to have them come speak at your churches.
I'd love to.
You know, youth groups, all those things. It's just incredible. Really, really good stuff.
Thank you.
I'm really happy.
Thank you.
To have met you.
Oh, same. This is so fun. Thanks for the privilege to come on and hang.
Definitely. And, you know, is there anything else that you want to share out of your heart? Any last word, something like that? And then I want to ask you the question, because since the name of my live stream here is Heart of the City.
Yeah.
How are you the heart of the city? What does that mean to you?
Yeah. You know, probably the last thing I would say before kind of speaking to that question is, you know, one of my favorite verses, which I kind of start, I have listed is really the beginning of it, is this verse, James 4:8, and it just simply, come close to God, and He'll come close to you. Mm-hmm. And it's simple, but it's also one of the first verses I had my daughters memorize with me, is because to me, this simple little verse in the Bible speaks so much to the heart of God towards everybody, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think we got to earn our way to God. We got to, you know, measure up to something, whatnot. But really, it's like His heart is just to be close to us. And it's this open invitation that if we say, okay, I'm going to lean in. I'm going to step towards, you know, kind of turning my heart towards His.
Yeah.
He will respond. Mm. No matter your past or your present, all the things you feel like you messed up on, you know, all the stacked up good or all the, you know, minuses you feel like that were bad, none of that matters. He just invites you to come close.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's such an unbelievable reality that we serve such an amazing God who, he wouldn't settle for distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We sinned and created this gap. He could have said, forget these guys.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. wring his hands, you know, get rid of earth. But now He comes on this great rescue mission to bring us close.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the invitation. No matter where you're at, whenever you're at, just never forget that He invites you to keep coming close to Him and He loves you. The heart of the city. I love the city.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been here now a little over 3 years. And I've really fallen in love with it.
Right.
And I mean, there's just so much beauty in it, you know, from ocean to city life and just kind of everywhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, you know, how am I the heart of the city? It's a fun question. You know, I think there's a couple ways. I mean, just in a general sense, I'm trying to bring light, bring love, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of wherever I go, be the guy who's going to, you know, lighten up the barista's day, you know what I mean? Be the guy who's going to just be an encouragement, be the guy who's going to
really
be
good.
Celebrating people, you know, everywhere I go.
Really good stuff.
So I think in a real just kind of simple way, I mean, honestly, that's kind of why I ended the book with love people. Because at the end of the day, I think that's the most important thing that Jesus kept coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
Love people.
Yeah.
And we got plenty of hate out there. You know, plenty of drama in the world that we live in.
Yeah.
Let's be different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's be a different city. You know, let's be a city that loves. Let's be a city that cares for each other. Let's be a city that goes out of our way to show kindness to each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And wherever we're at in life, you know, whatever our passions are, wherever our stances, let's love people. You know, let's go out of our way to serve each other. So.
Totally. Yeah. Amen. With that said, you guys, Samuel Duke on the heart of the city,
come on.
San Diego.
Thanks,
peace out, you guys. Peace out.